wide world of sports moves fast, and if you don't keep up, sometimes you get left behind. That is what happened this past week in Buffalo, New York. Lindy Ruff, the coach of the Sabres, that is Buffalo's hockey team, he was fired during his 17th season leading the team, and that got NPR's Mike Pesca thinking. He joins us now. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
So you're thinking about coaches.
I'm thinking about coaching tenure because when Ruff was fired, he was the second longest tenured coach in major professional sports, the longest being Greg Popovich of the Spurs. So what makes a coach stay? What makes a coach go? And the answer is a little complicated. Well, first of all, one ingredient in the mix is winning. Bad coaches get fired. There are no long-tenured coaches who have overall losing records.
That makes sense to me.
Yes, that does make sense, does it not? You could be a GM if that were the criteria. But the weird thing about Ruff is he didn't win that much. He was good. He was a good coach. And early on, he brought his team to the Stanley Cup Finals, which helps to have some early success. And he was named Coach of the Year about 10 years ago in a narrow vote. But other than that, the Sabres were seen as an underperforming team under Ruff. And I think a big factor of what gets a coach long tenure is actually almost winning the championship. If you look at some of the longest tenured coaches who were recently fired, Andy Reid of the Eagles, you know, made it to the Super Bowl but didn't win one. Jerry Sloan of the Jazz brought his team to the finals, didn't win the finals. So sometimes owners like to keep coaches around. But I think there was a particular dynamic, an odd dynamic in Buffalo because, like a lot of places, it's that really loves its Sabres, feels really loyal to the coach. Ruff was a former Sabre, and they loved him. But the big thing that happened was there's new ownership in place post-Golisano, and the GM, Darcy Regier, he fired his friend Lindy Ruff, and now a lot of people are thinking that Darcy Regier should go.
But I would imagine that there's also some benefit to just changing it up after a while. I mean, you have the same coach for a long time. Maybe you need new blood.
That's it. That's it. Players tune you out. It's a cliche, but it's true, as actually most cliches are. They're just boring. But players say this, and Pat Riley said this, and after a while, the players do tune you out. So if you get a new coach with just slightly different ways, essentially saying the same thing, sometimes that new coach works out, or at least it's acknowledged that it was time for the old coach to go. With Lindy Ruff, many desperate fans in Buffalo had been saying this for a while.
Is it any different, Mike, with college athletics? I mean, there's some long coaching legacies when you think about Bobby Knight in Indiana, Joe Paterno. I'm sure there's a lot of others.
Right. So in college, there's the opportunity for the coach sort of to become a fiefdom and become one of the more powerful men on campus. You know, it's not the strict employer-employee relationship when it comes to the kind of power that a college coach can accrue. And it's just impossible for a professional coach to do that, especially if it's not a combination coach and GM, and that kind of combo position is becoming more rare as time goes on.
Okay, what is your curveball for us this week?
Well, this week we saw a video of what was hailed as the worst free throw ever, a Georgia College junior named Shantiona Keys. She just launched the ball about 3 feet. It just did not go far at all. And this came on the heels of what in December was hailed as the worst free throw ever. An Appalachian State Reserve center named Brian Oakham went about 4 feet. It was as if a baby had thrown the ball. Now, it got me into a little rabbit hole. There's this world, if you put in worst free throw ever in Google or in YouTube, you get tons of hits of really bad free throws. Some of them are just ugly deliveries and the ball goes in, and some of them people don't quite understand how the ball could have traveled such a short distance. I realize it's hard to explain these, but let's get the audio involved, and these are some of the reactions to the worst free throws ever.
Okay, let's listen.
Second free throw, my goodness.
I'm not sure what that was. Good Lord.
That's one of those you don't even want to watch.
I know, yeah. We need to speak. Houston, we got a problem.
Better, whoa. Hold on a minute. Did they just open the doors at a building? Can we get a replay on that in the truck? I got to see that free throw again.
NPR's Mike Pesca always nailing the free throw. Thanks so much, Mike.
Yeah, I try.
We'll be right back. and you're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.